What child is this indeed? That was a very unusual story of birth. I don't know if anyone here remembers, but there used to be a program on television called A Baby Story. I used to watch it with my mom all the time. It was something that would follow someone who got pregnant all the way through what that was like for them through labor and delivery and the first month of the child's life. And it was always extremely touching and heartwarming and even sometimes a little dramatic. We have just heard the most famous baby story of all time. It's very dramatic and yet also very, very humble. The King of Kings did not get royal treatment when it came to how he was born, the nature of his birth. The rich and famous in our world now, they can give birth in the lap of luxury. I've heard of hospitals offering these rooms with mahogany walls and 800 thread count sheets and a hairstylist who will come in and make you look pretty after you give birth. All these luxuries. We can have that in today's world, but that is a far, far cry from Mary and Joseph's birth experience, isn't it? Our world is in a stage now where we tend to put a lot of stock in those rich and famous, powerful people. We think that they have the power to save us, to fix all that is broken. They've had, like, figured out, not like us ordinary people. We tend to make them heroes because we long for heroes. If they could make it in this hard world and have success, what looks like success, maybe we think they could save us from what's wrong, right? The world has always wanted a mighty savior. Back in the days when Jesus was first born, they were living under the thumb of the Roman Empire. Most of the people, if they weren't slaves, were still poor and struggling. And they dreamed of a savior who would ride in on a mighty steed with his sword drawn, ready to fight for them. They wanted that kind of a Messiah. And nowadays, we may imagine our hero in the world to look a little different. Maybe it's a powerful politician or someone who makes great speeches or someone who has a lot of money. But we still dream of heroes, mighty heroes. But what do we get? We get a baby. Now, why would God do that? Why on earth would God choose to come to us in the form of a baby? He could have come as a really headstrong, cocky teenager who knows he's right and can deal with anything, right? He could have come as a full-grown man who was ready to get the job done the minute he was born, but he didn't. He came as a baby that needed to grow. Why would God do that? Now, to me, I just start thinking about what babies do to us. Let's think about babies for just a minute. When you hold one, it's almost as if the whole world slows down around you. And I want all of us to dwell on that feeling for just a minute. Indulge me for a second, and you can close your eyes if you want to even, and think of the last time that you held a little baby in your arms. Imagine what that was like, that perfect new skin, that little heartbeat, that little gurgling voice, the little fingers reaching out for yours, that smell on the top of their head that you can't explain, but it's so perfect. It's incredible, right? When you hold a baby, I love the way one pastor put it. She said, holding a baby is the most ordinary thing humans can do because there are so many babies, 353,000 new babies born every single day. So it's the most ordinary thing, and yet it is the holiest thing most of us will ever experience when you really think about it. So you have this utterly ordinary thing that is also incredibly awesome. A total paradox. And yet, of course God would choose to do that because God was choosing to be fully human and fully God. This mystery, God loves to do that for us. And think too what a baby brings out in us. A baby disarms us. Even the most disagreeable, mean, angry person cannot help but crack a little smile if a sweet baby starts laughing or smiling back at him. Even one of us in the worst mood, if we see a baby that's crying or shivering, we'll want to comfort. We'll want to wrap a blanket around them. We'll want to hug them or soothe them. So babies provoke protectiveness and compassion. Maybe something God wanted to draw out in this world. Babies are utterly dependent upon us. Just imagine that. A being like our God, who is so mighty, all-powerful, choosing to become a being that is so helpless that it needs to be nursed and have its diapers changed in order to survive. That is really something. To be that helpless, that just to survive, you need people to take care of you. It's astonishingly vulnerable. In a baby, I believe that the message of God to us is, do not be afraid to approach me. That vulnerability tells us we do not need to be afraid to approach God. A baby is vulnerability, and in Jesus' vulnerability lies his strength. In a world where force and might, they're the things that we think rule the day, and yet Jesus' vulnerability, we are told, is going to win. We have to all remember at one point, we all needed someone else just to live. Just to live and get through to the next day. What would churches look like? What would each of our lives look like if instead of being places where we had to have everything all figured out, if we were meeting places for people who admitted we still need each other in order to live? Maybe also in coming as a baby, God was trying to tell the world what we need to value and protect, what's really important. Maybe it's a message that instead of worshiping those gods of might and power and self-sufficiency, it's worth turning our attention and our meditation to another way of life, one that receives help and gives help, that is kind and giving and willing to need each other. Maybe the only way that we can become more holy as human beings is to become more like that powerless baby, Jesus, because that tiny baby has within him the power to save us all. And for that, I say, thanks be to God. Amen.